Slime Wire. Choose your own adventure.
Thank you. do want to feel positive about myself though one day. Like, alright, you did it. Now stay strong. Nothing's wrong with you. You okay to walk this earth. You're not a bad person. You're not someone who's fucking it up. I'm just curious on the man that I'm gonna become. I think I grew out of liking music, like the love for it, but it's like, it's therapy. It's the only way I can express myself. And as I sit down behind the mic and just let things flow out of my mouth, I feel relieved. Man, I was flooded with millions of dollars from the time I was 16 all the way to this point in my life. And I woke up one morning and I was like, damn. They got me. Man, look at the shit I spoke about. Look at the shit I put in these people's ears. Man, I feel very wrong about a lot of things. How many lives I actually am responsible for when it comes to my music? How many kids and people have gotten a car or put this shit in their ears and actually went hurt someone? And now I'm sitting back like, damn, I can't do it all in one day. But I promise to clean whatever I can clean, but it's gonna take time.
I actually want to get rid of all of these cars. I can't drive any of them. I think I'd rather just fill my garage with antique cars until I do get a little freedom where I could double back and purchase some of these where I could have my fun in. And that's my accountant, Miss Quintina, making sure I handle the money I was blessed with properly.
I can feel when he needs me to be that. And so that accounting hat, I take it off when he needs me to be human, when he needs somebody to talk to. Whatever he needs me to be, that's what I am for him.
Well, my grandmother was my everything. That was my protection, my comfort.
This is my angel, my protector.
So as she died, I seen like just this very big difference inside everything.
Like, he got a big heart. Like, he love people. Like, if he love you, he love you. You know what I mean?
One of his good friends brought him over to me. And after one session, he was just like, man, he doesn't really mess with nobody, but he like you. He's like, I don't know what that is. So it was just kind of natural, like just how our chemistry and our bond just kept growing and kept growing. And I consider him a brother.
I'm not famous. I don't think about it. I just have a lot of people that know me, I guess. I'm terrified of people. I am very scared of people. Like on my kids, I am terrified of people, and I am very shy. But I never knew why. Once I walk on the stage, I could get it done and leave. But I am terrified of people. People are cruel. It's like you can't control ourselves. So you never know what someone will do you.
I always, you know, knew what he was doing and what he had going on and his music and his buzz and was impressed with what he achieved being from where we're from. And I mean, they are some of the hardest working people in the music business. I think his legacy will be himself. He's not gonna be compared to anybody. He's setting the tone and standing out by his work ethic.
I always wanted to be a rapper. This was always my dream. I never had a plan B. This is what I was set on becoming. That's what it was. You can't be on top forever, you know. There's always to be another artist. But there'll never be another young boy. I will not be provoked. I will not be broken. And I'm not going back to where I used to be. Accept it or not, I ain't going back. I only get more groovy from here. The day I walk out this door, it's gonna be a whole lot of doing.
Slime Wire. Choose your own adventure.
All right, Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Mahalo, welcome back, folks. This is Slime Wire episode 58. I am your host, Triton T2, and I'm joined by Ikemen Sensei.
Good to see you, folks.
We're back, folks. Sorry, we took an extended hiatus while I was... So first off, I was preparing the slime comp, which took a lot of, you know, personal time.
Yeah.
It was very hard to get all those tracks together. I had a lot on my plate, and then also I got back into drinking. So
sure.
I've been drinking. Okay. I was like going to the bar, so I just like we did the last episode, which was the Monarch interview, which hilariously it was like it ended up being so bad that we thought that it would be funny to end the show on that. And just make that the last episode, because it was really bad. Like the audio was fucked. I made Ikemen Sensei host the thing. I didn't show up until halfway through, and it was
drunk.
Like four. Yeah, I was drunk. It was like four in the morning where I was at. So like, it was just gnarly. And Ikemen Sensei didn't even know anything about the Monarch really. Yeah.
And I did some emergency. You know, I listened to all of his albums, and I kind of. Yeah, I got some stuff together, but I did not I didn't realize like what it's like talking to a young man.
Yeah, talking to a Zoomer. He's actually in. Have you checked in on the Discord recently? We've been discussing some millennial versus Zoomer. Like
I perused the millennial versus Zoomer thing, but whenever after. This always happens between our recordings of these podcasts. Every time I finish the podcast, I think, wow, that was really nice. I really enjoyed talking about the cultural events of the day. And then as time goes on, I revert to my default state of being disgusted with internet discourse. And
I love internet discourse.
Not wanting to participate at all. So I read the Discord and I'm like, oh, God, Zoomer versus... millennials and generation alpha and all this, you know, and I don't want anything to do with it.
I mean, I don't blame anybody for not interacting with the Discord. The Discord is like, it's pretty bad. I thought we could cultivate like a nice online place for the vaporwave dissidents to discuss various things. But it really hasn't turned out to be very good. But maybe it'll get better. I don't know.
I mean, I felt like the ethos of like what we want out of it is to not. We're not moderating at all. We're not kicking.
No, I refuse to censor anybody. Yeah.
But then you realize the practical necessity of doing that.
Yeah.
Because like you know you gotta kick people out. But we're not going to. I would never do that. But it's like, it does guarantee it's like a shitty, toxic cesspool where people are bullying each other and getting angry with each other. But that's, you know, that's just how it's going to be.
That's just what it is. I mean, I want it to be, my ideal goal is to make it as close to, like, 4chan as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I Yeah, I guess I'm glad that it is sort of a disgusting vile thing.
You are kind of succeeding. I mean, there is occasionally really great discourse that happens in there. The Wasex has delivered many enlightening sermons on the Bible. There's been good stuff that goes on there.
Yeah, Wasex also shit posts like a motherfucker in there too. But
I'm afraid to post because I feel like I'm going to get bullied and harassed. And that's not what I want. As you know, I've been trying to really, like, you know, I'm constantly in danger of falling into the punching bag position on this show and in the Slimeware mythos in general. So I got to avoid that as much as possible. So that's why I'm absent, Gordon, for the most part.
I understand. Well, the original point I was trying to make is that the monarch is trying to claim he's somehow a millennial because he enjoys millennial music, which is insane. That's not true. Sorry, monarch, you're like literally like 15 years old. We probably shouldn't have never had you on the show. It's probably like, what's the word? It's probably irresponsible of us to give such a young person a public platform like that.
Absolutely. But,
it's whatever. Yeah. But anyway, we are back. SlimeWire is back. So what have you been up to, Ikeman? Anything of note?
Oh, well, I feel like the main reason that we're back now, we were going to end the show because I was coming back to the States.
Oh, and, the international aspect just wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the point of the show if it doesn't cover an international perspective? And so now I'm staying. I got a big boy job, real job. And I'm working at a private school, and I'm gonna teach little millionaire kids now. So that's what's going on with me. I'm moving in 12 days.
Oh damn!
Yeah.
Where are you moving to?
I'm moving to a little borough called Fukuyama, which is like maybe 30 minutes out from Hiroshima. So.
Ooh.
I'm going to be close to the city. I'm going to be close to the atrocity zone. And there's hard vaporwave radiation emanating from that city in Japan. So I'll be able to absorb some of the radiation. And hopefully it'll rub off on the show.
Yeah, you should make some more vaporwave. You did make that track for the Slime Comp, which was very good.
Yeah, I enjoyed... There is a Japanese guy, that guy who complimented my... track on Twitter is Japanese, and I was like oh okay, maybe you picked up on the Japanese sensibility. I've been thinking, I have another track I'm working on right now. And I have one that I didn't put on the Slime Comp, the really annoying one, and I really like that one. I think about it all the time.
It was pretty annoying, though. But, I mean, that's all right. My track was really annoying. But
I think your track was peaceful, calm.
Well, nice. My track is the first. So, also, we're going to be showcasing tracks from the Slime Comp on the podcast thus forth until we run out of tracks or until we decide to end the show again. But so the first track played in this episode was, of course, the first track of the Slime Comp, which was my track called... Intel Incel, and I thought it was a pretty good track. So what's been going on with me? I do have a personal anecdote I wanted to share because I think it's pretty funny. I think you'll get a laugh out of this. I was hella drunk last night. I went to the bar. I'm not supposed to be going to the bar, but I did. And then I was walking home from the bar, and I tried to hit on a homeless girl.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it the same homeless girl that you hit on before?
No, and I don't have a pattern of hitting on homeless women.
I would beg to differ on that.
No, this is a whole different thing. So no, this I was walking back home from the bar, and I passed by this homeless shelter, and there was a girl, cute girl, standing outside the homeless shelter, and first off, she was clean. All of her clothes were clean. She was clean. She didn't look particularly homeless. She wasn't like fucked up or on drugs or anything. And I even asked her. I was like, "What are you doing here?" Like, And I was kind of a dick in retrospect, because I literally asked her, I was like, why are your clothes so clean? And she was like, I was very drunk, but, and she was like, yeah, I just washed them. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she was listening to music off of her phone, and this is a, I was also a dick here. I was like, why are you playing such shitty music off of your phone?
Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the way I talk to women, it's like the ones that like me, like, really sort of vibe with me, because I'm unlike a lot of the typical men that they find, especially in Portland, where, you know, men are gonna walk up and just, like, apologize for being a part of the patriarchy or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But no, yeah. She was cool, and but I was like, why are you listening to such shitty music? And she was like, oh, I lost my AirPods. So then I fucking gave her AirPods.
Wow.
So I have, like, I got new AirPods, but I still had my old AirPods, and I was like, oh, wait here. And I, like, went to my apartment and brought, ooh, and I gave her AirPods, and I gave her a beer, too. And she was like, thanks, I'm in recovery. And I was like, oh, shit. Well, see ya. But then I got her Instagram and everything. And then, like, looking at her Instagram now, I'm pretty sure that she's a lesbian. Because she has the Ellen DeGeneres sort of cut. I didn't notice it at the time because she's wearing, like, a hoodie and a beanie.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's got the short hair. And it reminds me of, there's a scene in a very early season of the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Where, so it's when they get into the prison, right? And then they find there's these prisoners that have been stuck in the prison since the coronavirus pandemic had begun.
Yeah.
They've been there since the beginning of the China virus, you know?
Yeah.
and but anyway, they integrate, like, themselves into the community, and there's this one guy, he's like a southerner, and there's this specific scene where he's, like, creeping on and hitting on this 14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And then Carol, who's one of the main characters, who also has the Ellen DeGeneres, you know, lesbian haircut, she, like, grabs him, and she's like, what the fuck are you doing, you know? And he's a southerner, so he's like, well, I'm sorry, ma'am, I've been alone for so long, and all the women in this group are paired up, and you're a lesbian, because you got the, you know? And she's like, I'm not a lesbian. And he's like, but you got the short hair, is what he said. It was very funny. But then she's like, I'm not a lesbian. And then they like, sort of share a moment, and the viewer is left, like, it's understood to think that they're gonna fuck, but then he dies, like, the next episode later. But I always thought that it was really funny that she, like, that they shared this tender moment when, like, moments before he was, like, creeping on a 14-year-old girl. Well, yeah, well, that, but before that, he was literally being a pedophile. So, I don't know, it's very funny. I don't know. The Walking Dead.
You put that woman on a roller coaster ride, because first you complimented her on her clean clothes.
Yes.
And then you were like, why are you listening to such shitty music?
Now, I think I said the shitty music thing first. But,
Okay. Well, either way, then you go up and you shower her with gifts.
Yes.
But one of the gifts is a substance, which she's not allowed to drink anymore. So,
yeah.
Really up and down, up and down. I like your ducking and weaving.
Yeah, and then on the Instagram page that she gave me is like, this is a recovery Instagram page. I've been in recovery for... Yeah. So I don't think I'm gonna hang out with this girl in the future. But it was a funny story. I was very drunk. I normally wouldn't engage in that libertine behavior.
Well, I imagine in Portland there's the only women left to hit on are all homeless, so nobody can blame you for that.
There's just a lot of them, I guess. I don't know. I think it's just my neighborhood. There's just a lot of some homeless people are like, some homeless girls are fucking, like, hot, but then you talk to them and they're like, you know, they're all fucked up. Yeah. And it's like, oh, sorry. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But
yeah, that's a dilemma.
But yeah, I thought you might get a kick out of that. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, the man, that's a raunchy tale.
Yeah. But anyway.
I see.
But let's get into the meat of this. So first off, we put out the slime comp several months ago at this point. Mm-hmm. It was a very good compilation. 28 tracks of pure classic sample-based vaporwave.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about it?
Well,
if you had to review it, if you had to take yourself out of the, you know, your spot as being an arbiter of it, had to review it, what would you say?
I would say that, well, that's a good question, because I'm not sure I can distance myself from my own personal tastes in music to be able to provide, because I would say, yeah, it's a great comp. It's a good comp.
It's a fire comp. There's so much good shit on there. Very proud of like everybody that contributed, for sure.
Yeah, it is really amazing, and I feel bad that we dropped it and then completely radio silence didn't promote it at all.
Well, I didn't want to turn it into like a lame like marketing, like, you know, like I feel like that's sort of what we were railing against in the vaporwave world. So I did. I quote tweeted everybody that tweeted about it. So I did a little bit of promotion.
Yeah, there were people that had good things to say about it on the internet. I think that, I guess, regardless of what you think about classic vaporwave, what your stance is on the current scene as it is today, there's a lot to like on these tracks. I don't see how you could not like tracks like Hamburger by Bosco. You got
fire.
Yeah, absolute fire. VHS Stress Spine, definite standout for me. I mean, I'm mentioning these because A, they're some of my favorite tracks on the comp, and B, they're just like, I think, just enjoyable regardless of what you think. I think anybody would listen to it and think, oh, hey, this is a nice little tune.
Yeah,
so I think that this does not compromise. I think this is a pretty comprehensive vision of what if SlimeWire was a dictatorship, if we had our say, then this is what vaporwave would be.
Yeah, you know, the ultimate goal. This is sort of a mission statement.
Yes, this is what we
towards
want.
Towards our fascist
yes,
takeover of vaporwave.
Yeah, once we get that funding from Peter Thiel, this is what vaporwave is going to sound like.
Yes, and somebody uploaded it, or didn't upload it, but they made a rate your music page for it, and they put they put the whole track list on there. No reviews yet, but one rating, 4 out of 5 stars.
Well,
so
very
that's
nice.
That's the consensus. That's the master consensus on Rate Your Music, out of one reviewer. So I think it's safe
to
say.
That's probably. Yeah. That I think that's a 4 out of 5 stars is probably really high for any album on Rate Your Music. It's probably up in the top upper echelons.
Yeah, we're in like the top bit. I can't believe that came out February 3rd, 2023. Yeah, it shows the release date and everything. Very cool.
So I'm asking you about like what your favorite tracks are on there, because I feel like I don't want to slight anyone. But what are some standouts for you?
The Skeleton Lipstick track is very, very good.
Yes.
Your
it is.
Track, the last track, is very, very good. I would
Thank
say
you.
The real standout for me is track 16, and it is Japanese by Japanese, and I don't know who the producer is. They sent me the track, and they told me not to credit them, and then I lost the... I don't remember if they emailed it to me or if they sent it to me on Twitter, but I can't remember who made that track. I have no idea, but it's fire. It's, like, amazing.
Yeah. That one is very good. The track name translates to abandoned.
Nice.
Yeah. I can't read the first...
Can't parse the artist's name.
That's cannot parse it. Yes. Sorry about that.
It's all right. But... Besides that, you know, the Epson track, Fear of Radon Gas, is very good.
Yes.
The Bosby track, Personality, very, very good. I love the Azor Sands track, Discount Anthem. I really want to know where he found that sample, because it's crazy. It's like a union anthem about...
I know.
From is it Kmart, I think?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I liked about this is the kind of 2016 era, like... satire of capitalism that is in this. Like, you have that, which is like a very tongue-in-cheek, like, sample of, yeah, like a Kmart instructional video. Is that what it is?
I don't know. But they're specifically talking about, like, the union, the Kmart union. I know that, like, a few, or like several years ago at this point, there was the Kmart tape drop, which was a big moment in Vaporwave. Basically, Kmart released like hours and hours and hours of like music that they had like created for employee training videos. And several Kmart related albums came out of that. But like, I feel like this sample is not from that because it's specifically about the union.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. So I don't know. It's crazy. Oh, did this guy work at Kmart? Like, was he a member of the Kmart union? Like,
I know. It's so... It's weird that, like, it's just weird to think that there was a time when Kmart would be see fit to, like, publish, like, an anti-union, like, like, video. And, like, it makes me wonder, like, was that common? Like, in the same way they had, like, training videos for their employees, did they have the same, like, cheesy 80s, like, instructional videos, except, like, don't join a union?
I don't know. I guess they did. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so a little bit of history gone into this comic. As for me, I think pretty predictably, I don't know if we already talked about VHS Stress's spine.
Yeah, it's incredible. And that artist sent me 4 tracks, and I couldn't decide which one to put because they were all so good. So I don't know if those other tracks are going to come out some other... like on their next album or whatever.
But, I love the Daft Punk like vocoder bass over Jack in the Box sample and
it's like a Jack in the Box thing.
Everything going on in there. Very late 2000s Ed Banger mixed with like Plunderphonics. Great sound. You gotta love it. Bosco's track was great. Loved Hamburger.
Yes. I love that it's called Hamburger.
Yeah. I'd say by far my favorite was Jitterbug. Just because of that slappy beat. You got your glitched out samples over a nice hard beat.
Late Arcane.
I like something. I like something you can dance to, and I like something that's just you can just pop it on, and forget about your problems, and that's that track. So really
it's
like
just,
that.
It's just a straight up banger. The other thing I liked about the comp was that there's a lot of it's all sample based, but there's like a lot. There's ambient on there. There's like future funk. There's like extremely classic vaporwave, and there's extremely experimental stuff on there too. So it's very eclectic, which is what I really wanted. I don't know if there's ever going to be a slime comp too. I feel like it maybe wouldn't be right, but maybe eventually. I don't know.
Well, I wonder if there's people that published on this compilation that would be interested in sending us some long form work that we could then post.
Oh, really pad out SlimeWire Records. So it isn't just various
not
different
just aliases
of myself.
Then, and hey, who knows? Maybe I'll put out a little EP
Well, if you do, it's definitely welcome on the Slime Wire Records. As long as it's of quality, I'll have to listen to it first.
And
make sure it's good. It's enough to appear beside all the other stuff. But word. Well, let's move on from the slime comp. The main theme of this episode is going to be gorillas.
Yes.
Some of you may be shocked by that, but gorillas have really been like they're an important thing. They've been inside my mind for a couple of days, really just one day, I guess. Basically, I was surfing 4chan. I was surfing the X board, the paranormal 4chan board, which is one of my favorites to peruse. There's lots of schizo ramblings there. And there's a guy on there, and he's got a theory. And the theory is that gorillas... They're not real.
Tell me more. You're gonna have to explain this, because color me skeptical.
They're not real, buddy. They're people in suits. A lot of this comes down to there was a viral image somebody posted where they're at a zoo or some sort of enclosure, and they're standing next to some gorillas, and the gorillas are just standing up with them, and one of them looks like his hands are in his pocket. They're just standing up like normal people. I swear to God, you can look at the picture. The picture has been verified to be true. It is a real photo. And then on top of that, there was a leak of some of the expenses at the Seattle Zoo, where it was revealed that they're paying money for these large mechanical sort of things, and they have actors on their payroll as well. So how many actors have you ever seen in a zoo, buddy? I think that's not a normal thing, right?
I've seen several actors at zoos.
There are no actors. Why do they have actors at zoos?
When they have performances frequently on the stage, and there are occasionally guys.
I don't know what zoo you're going to. The zoo I go to, it's got the elephants and it's got the fucking petting zoo, and it's got peacocks running around. And then there's gorillas, but the gorillas, they're just people in suits, brother. They're not real.
Okay, if we were looking in this bill and it said, like, you know, we need liquor and cigarettes for the gorillas, and that's the expense, then...
Well, they wouldn't be buying so they pay the actors, and then the actors use their wage to purchase their own liquor or cigarettes.
Okay. All right. Well,
but I imagine they have to be pretty. They're probably not attached to these vices because they probably have to be in shape to be wearing these intense fur suits all the time. You know.
Yeah. I mean, when you go to the zoo, you frequently see the gorillas up close.
Mm-hmm.
And they're performing feats. I mean, they're lifting heavy objects. They're lifting each other. Also, occasionally you'll see a baby gorilla. So what are the baby gorillas?
They're babies in suits.
Human babies?
Yes, or maybe some sort of animatronic contraption, CGI, you know?
Oh, CGI, yeah, okay, yeah. All right, yeah, I'm into that. I guess my question is, like, what does that mean for Harambe? Was that just
Harambe?
A man?
Yes, Harambe was a rogue unit. He was going to expose the truth about Big Monkey, and they killed him. So that kid was also a paid actor, Fed, if you will. And they killed Harambe for that bullshit. Wow. Really, still like I was mad about Harambe when it first happened because I thought, you know, you don't need to kill such a majestic creature, but. Yeah. You know, now knowing that it's all been a lie. And so you might ask, what is the, you know, why are they doing this? Why is, like, what is the motive behind Big Monkey?
Yeah,
the answer is, you know, it's atheists. It's big atheism. They don't want you to know about, you know, they want to convince you about evolution and Darwinism. So they make up this fake monkey and say, hey, look, we look like this monkey. The monkey acts in a humanoid function. You can see they're even standing up. They're not even going to, like, bother to debunk that image.
Sure.
Yeah, so, you know, as a God-fearing man, I think it is in my duty to go and spread the truth about Big Monkey.
Spread the gospel. So here's my next question. What about other types of monkey?
Oh, they're real. It's gorillas that are fake.
Just
they're
gorillas.
The most humanoid, yeah.
No, but I believe that the human race was descended from the...
Okay, watch out now. Watch out now. Be careful. Well, I don't know. I mean, orangutans, they're probably fake, right?
How would a man fit in such a small suit? Maybe it's an Asian man.
Orangutans are pretty big. Are they small?
Yeah, no, they're small. They're smaller than humans. I mean, they get to be big. At its biggest, an orangutan is fairly
big. They're not as
big
as gorillas? I thought they were pretty big.
They're definitely smaller than gorillas. So, either they're hiring smaller people to put in the suits, or...
Yeah, Asian guys.
Yeah, Asian men.
Or migrant Mexican workers. Those guys are hella short.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Kind of the same color skin as right. Yeah, I'm into it. Yeah, okay. Well, orangutans also can jump through the trees in a way that human beings can't.
Uh huh. Well, I mean, when do you see this? Do you see this at the zoo, or do you see this in videos of Africa? Because that's CGI.
That's all CGI.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Damn.
I mean, okay, let's be real. Are gorillas real? Are they not? I don't know. Who am I? I'm just a guy. I don't have all the answers. But the thing I'm really mad about is I came across this thread on 4chan, and I wanted to post, and you know, I wanted to ask the guy, like, you know, what's up with this, you know. What's really annoying is that the 4chan, CAPTCHA. It's so fucking hard. You can't, it's impossible to post on 4chan. It's bullshit. Like, literally, you can't fucking do it. I don't understand who, okay, I'm less retarded than the majority of people posting on 4chan. Right?
Okay.
And yes. I can't figure it out. So who the fuck is posting on this website?
Hypothetical, but I don't know. Maybe it's to keep the gorillas out.
I guess. I don't know. It really pissed me off. it irked me. And so, I decided to convince myself that gorillas weren't real so that I could bring up this. It's an inequality, honestly, that I'm not allowed to post on 4chan. Because of their bullshit CAPTCHA thing. And I honestly think what happened, I think nobody's posting on 4chan anymore. I think it's all bots and feds, because I think they got a little bit too scared of QAnon, and they didn't want anything happening on their fucking website to get them shut down. And the main guy that ran it, he fucking quit, and he sold it to some Japanese guy. And that's what's happened. Really sucks, because 4chan is one of the greatest websites ever made. And, can't fucking post on bullshit.
So all the people that are posting on 4chan are fake. And also, all gorillas are fake.
Yeah.
And
orangutans.
Damn.
And orangutans.
Damn.
Yeah.
You just can't trust anybody these days.
Yeah, okay, well, so that's the gorilla thing, and then we talked about the slime comp, talked about the homeless girl. What else were we going to talk about? Oh, you wanted to talk about Trump getting arrested or something? I don't really care about this, but...
I don't really care either. It seems like it was... No, I mean, we used to care about Trump, right? When he was in office, and that was kind of...
I mean, I'm excited for the comeback. I'm really excited for it's. I know a lot of people are like, "Oh, I hate the election cycle because it just brings out the worst in people, and you know all this animosity." But I'm like totally for it. I can't wait for everybody to hate each other again, and like, I love. I just want everything to turn up like about 100 times. You know?
Exactly, it's the only thing that's entertaining anymore.
Exactly.
It's like all TV shows and everything has gone to shit. So, bring it on. Bring on the big game, the big show.
Logo Daedalus had a pretty good theory today, I think, where he was like, the only sports people care about now are football and basketball. And people used to care about baseball. And I'm pretty sure the baseball season is longer than the basketball or football season. And now that nobody cares about baseball, they've shifted all of their attention towards politics.
Oh, that is an interesting theory. Well, I know people don't care about baseball anymore because the baseball players got too good at the game. So it's not interesting anymore because they can, like, mathematically time out, like, you know. That's a whole nother tangent that we're not going to get into today, but...
I don't know anything about this, but...
It's not that interesting. I don't know. I don't really give a shit about Donald Trump going to jail either. It'd be kind of lit if he does, and if he does, you know there's going to be those protests popping
back up. Oh, yeah, I think in New York City they're already putting up steel barricades and shit. I read that every single police officer is required to wear full uniform tomorrow. Including undercover cops, detectives, you know, the ones that normally just wear suits, they're going to be in like full riot gear tomorrow. But, it seems fake. I don't think he's actually going to jail. I think if he did, it would probably be awesome for him. Like, I think he would be a god in jail. Like, everybody would love him, respect him.
Like, how do people not realize that litigating Donald Trump and making him into literally like a Robespierre, like a fucking, like a guy.
like Al Capone.
Like, people will only rally for him more. People will only love him more when he's like in jail writing tweets and then like, you know, giving them to like a sparrow and sending him. The sparrow flies into, you know, Melania takes it and posts it on the internet. Like, it's such a romantic thought, such a romantic scene. And I don't understand how people don't understand that won't just boost his, like, marketability as a candidate a million times over.
Yeah, I think my grandfather is probably, like, really stoked about Donald Trump going to jail because he deserves it, you know. Bullshit like that. And
also, if he goes to jail, I mean, I think the reason they're trying to indict him and put him in jail is so that they can get the warrant to go try to prove all of these other various concepts that they have brewing.
They already raided Mar-a-Lago.
It's just like so obvious that either he didn't do anything, or the things that he did are the kind of crimes that nobody really gives a shit about. Like,
well, you know why he's getting arrested, supposedly, right?
Yeah, because he paid Stormy Daniels to hush up the time that he paid her for sex.
And... yeah, it's literally because he paid off a hooker. Like, who cares? Like,
I know. Yeah. Yes, we all know that everybody has done that before.
Yeah, every politician. I mean, like. The other ones were like raping children on an island.
Yeah.
Like...
yeah. There's no, I mean, the only thing that could happen is that they find out that he actually did commit all those crimes. In which case, that's like a scandal that will just, you know, destroy the credibility of the entire United States political process, that we had a president that did the things that people are accusing him of.
Yeah.
Or he'll go to jail. And yeah, he's not even like drawing numbers. He's not even doing numbers right now. You want to send him to jail? He's like, have you been hearing about him outside of this context? No.
I know he did a couple rallies and stuff. No, I guess you're right. But I also haven't heard, like, I'm not hearing about, what's the other guy, Ron DeSantis or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I tell you what my dad said? This is very funny. My dad said that Trump, he's going to run again. He's going to win. He's going to do another 4 years. He's going to complete his 8 years in office. And his vice president is going to be Nikki Haley. Do you know who Nikki Haley is?
Yeah, I've heard the name. Yes.
She's a conservative woman. She was like, she was an ambassador for the UN or some shit. And then after that, Nikki Haley's going to run for president, and she's going to win, and she's going to be the first female president, and her running mate, her vice president, is going to be Candace Owens.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to have to work. My dad, who's a generally smart guy, I do think he genuinely believes that that's going to happen, which is insane to me. But I think that's very funny.
Yeah, I'd be into it.
Yeah.
I'm down.
But yeah, anyway, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? But I think I think we need to at least take note of this news, because as SlimeWire is
posterity,
reborn,
yeah.
Yes. We need to have some kind of timing, some sort of logic to it. And it makes a lot of sense that this shit's popping off now when our podcast is coming back on.
Coming back on. All right. Word. Well, I guess that's so the other things we have are music related.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that. Do you want to take a quick break? I have to pee really bad.
Well, let's take a quick break, as is tradition.
And I'm going to smoke a cigarette too. And then we're going to be back and we're going to talk about music.
Great.
All right. I'll be right back. I'm back.
Hello. I'm here.
All right. So, the last two topics we had are music related. The first one is NBA YoungBoy did an interview with Billboard.com, mm-hmm. and it is one of the most insane things I've ever seen. Ekeman, I know you probably don't really care about this, but I just wanted to illustrate how crazy it was.
Yes.
So, first off, you're probably not very familiar with YoungBoy, but he's actually
I did my due diligence to familiarize myself with his work and with who he is. So I listened to a couple of his tracks. I got the lowdown on what he's all about. And of course, I read the interview you sent me and I watched that video, watched a couple of his music videos. I know what he's all about.
So the thing with YoungBoy that's really interesting is that he isn't like mainstream at all. Like his music is not on the radio. If you like only listen to the radio, you would not know who he is. And the reason for that is because he has longstanding beefs with many artists that are loved by the music industry, including Lil Durk, including the deceased King Von, And basically anybody that fucks with them, he doesn't fuck with. So that would include like Lil Baby, Young Thug, like basically everybody that's like really big and really popular, like hates Youngboy. And yeah. So the industry has effectively blackballed him. Yet he perseveres because he's like the number one artist for like young, like lumpin' prole, like black teenagers, basically. he's literally the third most popular artist on streaming platforms besides Drake and Beyonce.
God,
he's
damn.
Number three. Like, that's insane, dude.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And nobody, and but like nobody knows who he is except for like people that listen to his music. I actually have been listening to a lot of it recently. My Spotify Wrapped last year, my top most listened to artist was Youngboy, which broke my several year long trend of Young Thug. Wow. But only because I wanted to understand Youngboy more, and so I listened to like a bunch of his mixtapes in close succession. But yeah. And so the other thing is that he's like a hood guy from New Orleans, Louisiana. Birdman is now his manager, which is funny because, you know, Birdman peeks his head up during every generation like of rap music. You know, he famously brought the world Lil Wayne, you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but so like from being like this hood dude, and then also he's been on house arrest for like 2 years, he like somehow, like literally when he was like a kid, he visited Salt Lake City on like a youth program. And this is like such like young, like never been anywhere like type behavior. He was like, I'm gonna move there one day. Like one day I'm gonna buy a house in Salt Lake City. And so while he was on house arrest, he like arranged with a judge to allow him to buy a mansion in Salt Lake City. And so now he lives on the top of this snowy mountain. It's like fucking like North Pole paradise. Like everything is just white and covered in snow. And he lives in this all white mansion. Like all the walls are white. All his clothes are white. He's like literally like Santa Claus. It's fucking insane. And, it's crazy, dude. And he has extreme PTSD from his life in the hood, from his upbringing, and from being on house arrest for 2 years and like barely interacting with anybody, that he's so like afraid of people that like he doesn't ever like let anybody come talk to him or anything.
Yeah.
And so in this interview, you see him and his voice is shaking. His voice is like cracking and he's like, I'm terrified of people. And he's like, people are cruel. You don't know what people are going to do. And then he sounds like Michael Jackson. It's so creepy. It's like a dead on Michael Jackson thing. And he's probably going to become a child molester if he continues down this path. But then the other crazy thing, which is really nuts, is that to like help cure his own PTSD, since he lives in Salt Lake City, Utah now, the only people that come to visit him are Mormon missionaries. And like literally it says in the interview that at first he like shooed them away. He was like, I don't want to talk to anybody, you know. But they kept showing up to preach the gospel of Mormonism. Mm-hmm. And eventually he like slowly started, like he started off by just talking to them at the edge of his driveway. And then it like slowly manifested into them being like welcome in his home. And so now they're the only people he talks to, and he's converting to Mormonism.
That's no good.
Have you ever heard of a rapper converting to Mormonism?
Never.
Ever. I don't think there's ever been a Mormon rapper. I think this is going to be the first.
Crazy. They thought exactly what you thought. Oh, this guy's a pedophile in the making. Easy mark.
I don't want to shit on Mormons too hard. I think Mormons are kind of cool. They're like, they're mystical, they're spiritual. Like you're always taught that like the Mormon religion is like just intense Christianity, but it actually isn't that. It's actually way weirder and like more fucked up than that. It's like this weird like I don't know. It's like how like Kabbalah is to like Judaism. It's like this weird spiritual version of Christianity. And it's actually kind of cool, but like to be a Mormon,
that was made in America. So
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
See, we aren't as patriots celebrating Mormonism as our own homegrown national religion. You are right, though. It is kind of like the it is the Kabbalah of Christianity. It's like it's the hardcore version of Christianity. It's the more esoteric version.
Yeah, I sort of have respect for Mormons in that like respect, and like also like a lot of Mormons are like CIA guys and like feds, like the CIA and the FBI. They hire Mormons because Mormons aren't ever going to be addicted to drugs or anything, and they're like very dedicated. So I don't know. It's just really fucking crazy.
For sure, I think they're also like Hasidic Jews in that they live in segregated communities, you know, and they treat women poorly. So I do get the appeal to how the rap scene would be into that kind of thing. I personally think it would be great to have a Mormon rapper. We need one. Let's have it. Let's do it. I don't know. I'm not quite on board with you seem to be very convinced that he is going to molest children soon.
Well, you're like a Michael Jackson, like you don't think Michael Jackson did that shit, and I totally do.
Exactly. So, if Michael Jackson didn't do it, and what next do you think NBA Youngboy's going to do? Just because a black guy has a high, warbly voice doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen.
I'm just saying, like, you look at, you look at history repeats itself, and, you know, Michael Jackson was definitely doing some fuck shit, and, NBA Youngboy is acting just like Michael Jackson. It's creeping me out. He's got this big mansion, and, you know, eventually he's going to install a Ferris wheel in there.
Well, all I'm saying
is, happen after that.
I would talk to those Mormon missionaries, and I would say if he tried to make any moves on them, usually Mormon missionaries are pretty young. That's something.
Yeah, they're
do.
Like they're young boys. Yeah.
Yeah, and he is NBA young boy. So I mean, it's right in the name, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Not
sure.
NBA stands for not about to assault young boys. So he's trying to tell you, no, I'm not going to do it.
The history of his name is pretty funny, actually. He originally was NBA young boy, right? And he got sued by the National Basketball Association, of course. And so then he was forced to change his name to Young Boy Never Broke Again. But everybody just colloquially refers to him as NBA Young Boy or just Young Boy. But that's pretty funny. I fuck with Young Boy, though. He's got some good tracks.
Yeah, right? I liked the song that I listened to. I can't remember. The music video for it was, there was like a big fat Asian guy at a party. That's all I remember. It was a big fat Asian guy. I was about to try to describe the music video, but then I realized it was very much like every other music video.
Yeah, every rap music video. They're all the same.
Yeah. I did think it was interesting in that documentary he talked about how bad he feels about how people might listen to his music that promotes violence and then go commit violent acts themselves.
Yeah, so he doesn't want to. Yeah, that's the Mormon missionaries like speaking to him.
Yeah,
like, literally.
But 30 years ago, it was all rappers defending themselves against allegations that their music is going to corrupt people, and they were saying, no, this is free speech. No, this is. It's just describing our experiences growing up in the hood, and now, 30 years later, rappers are like, yeah, my music is going to cause people to encourage crimes. So they've completely turned around, done a 180.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe just Young Boy. I've never heard this from any other artist. But very interesting. Very interesting stuff. I encourage everybody to go look up the Young Boy Billboard interview. It's very long, but it's very, very, very interesting. And the video that complements it is also very interesting.
Yeah, he's definitely a troubled soul, but we will keep our finger on the pulse of the latest Youngboy news. So keep it tuned in to SlimeWire for updates.
Okay, and then I guess the final thing we have to talk about, and we have to talk about it. I don't even really want to, but we got to do it, buddy.
Yeah, we have to.
Well, I'll just let you take this one since it's more your thing. You're the hyperpop guy.
Well, listen, I hope that I can like clear my name of being the hyperpop guy by reviewing this album.
I thought you liked it.
Upon repeated viewings, repeated listening, it's become clear to me that it doesn't hold together thematically, and there's a little bit more chaff than there is wheat on this 100 Gex, 10,000 Gex
album. Yes, the long-awaited sequel to 1,000 Gex.
By
100 Gex.
SlimeWire endorsed album was the 1,000 Gex album. We did give it our seal of approval. And I tentatively still cling to that. I think it was a good album for its time. Definitely.
I think it's good.
Going back and listening to that, there's some slaps on there. But this album, I can say the same. I'm partial to the first two tracks. Dumbest Girl in the World and 757. That's pretty cool. And I really like $1 Million. Fantastic track. I think that hit the sweet spot for me of sort of like random changes in the song to like three or four different concepts, seemingly without any through line except voice repeating $1 Million over and over again.
It was a good track.
Yeah, I like the jazzy breakdown in the middle where it sounds like a jet set radio like music, where it's like a bass and then like a what do you call it? Yeah, it's like a hot little bass line right there in the middle. It only carries on for a couple bars before switching up.
Sounds like Death Grips Ex-Military to me. Sounds like a song that could have been on Ex-Military, which is my favorite Death Grips album.
It recalls Mr. Owazo's Lamb's Anger period work for me. Just the robot voice repeating a phrase over and over again. Reminds me of the seminal track Bruce Willis is Dead off Mr. Owazo's Lamb's Anger, which is one of my favorite albums. So I really like that.
I'd like to point out that the track immediately following that track, I can't remember what it's called, but it is an obvious Beck song. It's basically a Beck song.
That's interesting Beck. You say that. I'm what calls to mind that comparison for you?
The beat, the way that, also the way that they, I don't know what you, rapping? Are they rapping? Are they singing? They have a similar cadence as Beck, the similar production style is like Odelay. It's totally Beck influenced, in my opinion. And,
I feel like what they tried to do, like, leaning harder into the, like, parody 2000s like pop punk vibe aesthetic that they tried to do. I feel like that was the right move for
disagree.
I think the problem was a lot of the tracks on there just weren't that strong. Once you get to the midway part of the album, Frog on the Floor was just cringe, absolutely.
Well,
cringe.
I'll be discussing Frog on the Floor when I get to say my piece.
Okay, but, fair enough. But I think it starts off strong with the first two tracks. I like Dumbest Girl in the World. I like 757. Going into Frog on the Floor, the track after 757 I didn't like that much. Frog on the Floor, and then it kind of ends. It ends okay, ends strong with $1 Million, and then me. So, I feel like it's an album of extreme highs and then extreme lows. There's a lot of tracks that I really liked and then a lot that I really didn't like. So I'm ambivalent towards it.
Well, I would say I didn't feel any extreme highs on here. I mean, I think the Me 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 track is like pretty good, even though I really didn't like it when it was a single. But I think in the context of the album, it's like better. What I would say is like I dislike. So the first one is like this meta ironic, like it's like postmodern music in a way.
Yeah.
And the whole like sort of point is that like the integrity has been vacuumed out and like it's just like shit, you know, it's just like slop. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty good. I think like there's a lot of highs on that first one. And I think this one, it just doesn't have any of that. And I think it's basically just like nostalgia porn for like pop punk, which I mean, I do have a soft spot for like pop punk, but it's nothing I really want to hear nowadays.
So your problem with this album is that they are, and I think you accurately said that they have leaned into sincerity.
Yes.
On this
album, and I don't really understand why they did. I think it's like, I mean, it took years for. So when did the first one came out? That was like 2019.
Yeah,
it was before COVID. It might have even been 2018.
I think it was 2019, but. Yeah, it's been wild.
It was either late 2018 or early 2019 because the flap stuff was definitely 2018.
Yeah.
And but
which, you know, maybe you're just trying to escape that.
Maybe.
Escape controversy by posting something that sounded a little bit different.
Yeah, HKE needs to come back to Twitter so he can
take him down.
I want to hear his perspective on this album because I definitely don't hear any flap influence on this one, even though I did hear, I heard a little bit on the first one, but I won't get into that. But, I mean, I think it's just like nostalgia porn and I think it's kind of shitty. And then, like, that Frog on the Floor song, man, that hurts me
in a
visceral way. It, like, really disturbs me. And it's, specifically because there was this one time where I got dragged to this fucking like house show that was, it was like a half house, half coffee shop, typical Portland bullshit, like hipster place. And it was like an all acoustic house show where people are just sitting on the floor, lamest thing in the world. Like and this one guy came up and he was like, I want to say he was like off of the Zans, but he probably wasn't even cool enough to be off the Zans. He was probably on SSRIs or something. And he was the type of guy that like he should have had the bells attached to his feet, you know, where you stomp the you know that bullshit.
Yeah.
But he didn't even have that. And he got up on stage and he was like, this is a song I wrote about a frog, haha. And then he sings this lame, fucking horrible, like, oh, I saw a frog on a lily pad and it made me really sad. And like, it was horrible. And I wanted to kill myself. I've never wanted to like bring a machine gun to an event more than when I was in that room listening to that guy sing this fucking frog song. You weren't there. It was not, you were in Japan when this happened. Yes. I was hanging out with Tristan. It was, somebody that Tristan knew. But and then I put on this 10,000 Gex album, and it's like the third track is like, this is a song about a frog, and I was like, oh my god, they're just as lame as that guy. And literally, like if I met these people, I would hate them.
Yeah, and, it does not land. I can see how they're trying to induce a cringe feeling in the audience, but it just does not land. Even if it is what they're trying to do, it just does not. It's going to be a big no, and
it's a big miss.
It's a big miss.
Incredibly bad.
Serious. I think that part of the charm of 1000 Gex is that album danced around the cringe aspect very expertly. You know, so they have the ska song. And
it's
really good. And it is an ironic ska song. That's what it is. But it's still good. And they very expertly duck and weave around the cringe elements of like the stuff that they're influenced by without actually being cringe about it. And this time they've gone too far. When it misses, it's gonna miss really bad. So that was a big problem. I would say that honestly,
well, this one also has a ska song that isn't ironic at all.
Yeah okay, you're right.
Not enough irony.
Without Frog on the Floor, it would be bumped up way higher.
that particular track is just so bad, it bumps it down.
Just Frog on the Floor alone is enough to seriously detriment the whole of the album.
Yeah, I would just say also there's like too many guitars on it. The songs sound too similar. You know, the first, the 1000 Gex had a lot of really cool and interesting sounds that are not present on here at all.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just not interested in anything. And I don't know, maybe that is like just me being like, well, the internet decided this was cringe, so now I think it's cringe. And that's probably a part of it. But no, I think I trust myself enough.
Yeah. I think that in regards to the sincere angle that they're pulling with this album, it's like they had really nowhere to go. Like, they couldn't, like, I don't know how you could make an album after 1000 Gex that was like more quirky than 1000 Gex was, so they had to dial it back and just do what they wanted to do. And I think that, like, that's, you know, that push and pull of like, in there, I read some interviews with the singer of 100 Gex, and
who was it, Laura Les?
Laura Les,
Dylan Brady. Yeah,
I think both of them said like, people think we're being like ironic and tongue in cheek, but this is really just the music that we like and want to make, and like this is just the music that we think is cool, and so they're leaning into being more like, sincere about what they're doing. And that's the only thing, that's the only way they could have gone. They couldn't have gone in the other direction. So this is what they had to
do. I guess.
However, it doesn't land as much. It's not as good.
It's not as good. It's not nearly as good. It's very bad, actually. It's very bad. Look, I think it's really bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, all right. Yeah, I do think this. I think this puts the final nail in the coffin for hyperpop as a scene. Sophie dying was a big one, and now this is kind of the end.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, way to end it on a pretty somber note.
Yep. Well, it's a full revolution, the turning of the screws, So now we're here.
Okay, well, that's that. That has been the episode. I guess we're back, theoretically. We might decide to end the show on a moment's notice, but for now, we're back. We're planning on continuing the show. Is there anything, what do you want to do in the future, Ikemen Sensei?
Well, I'd like to find a new genre of music to cover, because I feel like Vaporwave, like, I don't know. I feel like it might really be dead this time.
I'm pretty sure it's dead.
Yeah. Nothing's going on.
Yeah.
I can't see anything going on. Nothing
happening. Hopefully I piss everybody off again. I don't know how to do it. But
yeah, you gotta.
I'll try.
Well, I think the new thing now is that you accuse somebody of being a pedophile while also being a pedophile yourself. So.
Well, I'm not going to do that. But
Yeah. But that seems to be most of the discourse that you hear now, is how one or the other prolific vaporwave producer is in a Discord chat with a minor saying inappropriate things. So that just seems, that's basically That's what's cool nowadays. So.
Okay, well, we're going to have to change that. I guess we're going to have to go full bore. We're going to have to bring the discourse back to us.
Yes, I'll you're keep,
right. Yeah, I don't know. I'll find somebody else to pick on.
Yeah, as difficult as it might be to believe, like, as much as people might hate constantly arguing about what is and isn't vaporwave, when that's not what you're arguing about, usually it's, yeah, just the sexual depravity.
Yeah, just pedophiles. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the default discourse is seen. So we're going to take it up a notch by accusing people of not being real vaporwave artists. That's as good as it gets in terms of favorite discourse.
Yeah, besides that, I'd like to get some more guests on in the future. I know once MP3 Neptune releases his album, I already told him we'd have him on. And, you know, this album that he's working on is supposedly inspired by the whole sample debate. So, yeah. Can't wait to hear that. Can't wait to get them on the show. You know, some other people we'd like to have on the show. Maybe we'll have HKE on one day. I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
Besides that, yeah, we're just going to... I'm going to get more... I'm going to figure out how to post on 4chan. I'm going to go around and try and find weirder internet shit to get into.
And, yeah.
But besides that, yeah, I guess we're back, folks.
Maybe.
We're back, baby.
Get ready.
And yeah, so I guess that's it. So, sayonara.
Yeah, sayonara, dude.